Hi, I'm Alan Carr from Mid-Cheshire College, and I'm interviewing Pete Travis. Pete's a podcasting practitioner, and he runs the Splendid Speaking website for English language learners. Pete, thanks for joining me. Can you tell me a little bit about your background, specifically your college ILT role?
Well, up until about 2 years ago, I worked at Henley College, Coventry. It's a kind of a medium-sized college, and I was the ILT manager there, responsible, as ILT managers tend to be, for staff development and maintaining the college VLE, that kind of thing.
Right. How did you discover podcasting, and what initial application did you see for this resource?
Well, it was one of those kind of lucky finds on the internet, just similar to WebQuest, which was another kind of a lucky find. It was just a case of spending an hour in the afternoon doing some searches on the internet and finding this word podcasting, and I immediately saw it as quite an exciting opportunity for my particular subject area, which is EFL ESOL, because obviously it offered lots of authentic listening material for our overseas students.
Okay, so how did it develop then at Coventry, and with what results?
Well, it was quite slow. I used a basic idea with the ESOL students with the limited results. We decided to try to use the 1 minute recorder that comes with Microsoft and create some quick introductory presentations from the ESOL students and uploaded them to Podomatic. And it was easy, technically very, very easy, not just for me but for the students to do independently. And that led ultimately to trying to roll it out across college or to anybody that was interested, basically.
So from the word go, you were involving students in creating podcasts, is that right?
Yes, it was not something that I was promoting at that point. Having just discovered it, it was a case of we had a language lab that I had with my ESOL students once a week. So it seemed a good opportunity to test it out to see. I think initially for me, I was interested to see how difficult it would be technically for me, because if it were, then I wasn't really going to have any success promoting it to teachers. But as I say, it was quite simple, so it was just whether people saw an application for it.
Did you find what I found, that in promoting this resource, you ended up with a big headache in terms of editing?
Well, to be perfectly honest, we never got to that stage. We were using the 1 minute recorder feature, which is very, very limited in terms of what you can do with it. But in terms of getting started, the idea with it was that you would kind of almost pre-plan what you're going to do first. You end up with 1 minute worth of recording, which tends to not need editing. I think had we got to that stage, maybe we can go into detail for more detail as to why we didn't get that far. But I think for my purposes, it was kept as so simple as possible that people would really not have an argument against it.
I did find that in promoting podcasting at Mid-Cheshire College, as long as I was doing all of the work, editing conversations in Audacity, that people were happy enough to do it. But if I was asking tutors to do that, it became a bit of a problem, and it never happened. Also, I was finding it difficult to devote the time to editing other people's audio. I found that a definite drawback.
I think I would have found the same. I think it's almost like people sending you their PowerPoints to edit. Now, I think, as I say, because we kept it really quite simple, and even then the results were very kind of thin on the ground, but I think it would have probably been the same at Henley had I tried to roll out the editing as well.
You're now involved outside of the college environment in an educational area surrounding EFL and ESOL. I think there's numerous ways in which podcasting can be used here. Do you still agree with that? And can you discuss some possibilities that you've considered or may have already applied?
Yeah, very much so. I think, for my area, which is EFL, English as a Foreign Language, it has immense benefits, not just for English, but anybody learning a language. I think for me, the analogy is when I was studying, I was at about 20 years ago, I studied German for my O&A levels. And it was a very lonely experience in terms of trying to find authentic listening materials, quite an expensive hobby as well to actually buy the cassettes. And if you compare that to the way life is now for people that have an appreciation of podcasting, there are an enormous number of recordings out there that overseas students can use for their for listening practice, not just authentic materials, but they can almost choose their almost their regional accent if they're interested, for example, in English as it is spoken in the South or the North, but obviously British English, American English, Australian English.
Yeah.
So an enormous breadth of material, I think, primarily. I think also podcasting does something for language students which is immensely useful. Speaking opportunities are often quite limited in the classroom. You tend to cover lots of things, vocabulary, grammar, reading, writing, etc. Speaking is often very limited. And what's more, students don't tend to have an audience for their speaking skills other than the people that they're sitting next to. So to be able to offer students the opportunity to maybe do a short presentation or work together in a group and produce some kind of radio show, and to know that at the end of the day they've got literally a worldwide audience for their spoken English, can be really very motivating for the students. So I think those two main issues make it really worthwhile for language teachers.
Yes, I completely agree with that. It also gives them an opportunity to track their own improvement, doesn't it? If they listen to themselves as they were weeks or months ago, and then follow their own development of the spoken word by virtue of the fact that their podcasts are there to listen to, that's a brilliant way for them to see, or for anyone else to see, how they've improved. Plus, if they have families overseas, then it's a great way to keep in touch with them, isn't it?
That is. Funnily enough, I tried that approach to persuade some Polish students that I was teaching a few years ago. And the idea was that they would create these short podcasts, publish them, and email their friends and relatives back home, and kind of just to show off, basically, to show just how well their English was coming on. And it worked for a week or two, but I then noticed they started to podcast in Polish and actually use it as a means of communicating with each other in their own language. So it was successful. They carried on their podcasts, but not for the purposes that I had intended.
Right, well, that's interesting that they grasped the technology. Okay, so what I'm going to do with this podcast is to post it on the Podcasting for Pedagogic Purposes podcast site. That's a bit of an alliterative challenge, just to say that. So this itself is going to be a resource now which hopefully will convince others involved in language teaching that they ought to be at least looking at podcasting. And I'll include your web link in the notes so that people can look to see what Splendid Speaking is all about. So many thanks to you, Pete, for your time.
Brilliant. Nice to speak with you.